Welcome to Three Cops Talk. On this podcast, three active duty police officers discuss behind-the-scenes stories and real-life accounts of what it's like to be a cop. Every episode, you'll get an inside look at the challenges and dangers they face on a daily basis, as well as the triumphs and inspirational moments that make it all worth it. If you want to understand more about the men and women who put their lives on the line for us every day, then this is the show for you. And now your hosts, Chris, Scott, and Sean.
You know, for most cops, working Christmas traditionally allows for a lower volume of calls and enforcement action. And it also provides you an opportunity to spend a little more time with your coworkers throughout the shift. So on today's episode, Scott and I allow you to ride along with a couple of cops who don't mind talking to get through the holidays.
Views and opinions expressed in this episode belong solely to the hosts and do not represent the views of any professional organization. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy the show.
This is the Christmas holiday special.
The Peanuts music.
Vince Guaraldi, which is great.
Right.
You'd listen to the music when you were watching Charlie Brown Christmas. You'd be like, oh, man, that sounds really cool.
Where do I find this? Yeah.
Like, if you didn't have a CD of it, like, finding it wasn't easy. Like, I mean, I had to go to a store and look it up and do all sorts of crap like
cassette
that.
Tape.
Yeah, cassette tape, 8-track, whatever. Vince Guaraldi was a great jazz musician, you know, probably very commercialized compared to a lot of other great jazz musicians. But his stuff is really good. And, you know, the funny thing is, Scott, you click on some of that stuff on the internet and it, you know, like we talked about with the algorithm, like that's why we need all of you folks that listen to us to, you know, post that you like us or don't like us, get it out there, get the chatter up, because the traffic of the algorithm changes what you're looking at. Right.
So we can just pop up anytime.
Anywhere.
Like, in between, you know, shopping on Amazon, maybe you catch something.
At the most inappropriate moments, which has kind of been like, I was doing that before the internet, like just popping up. What are you doing here?
What are you doing? We were laughing about the toys.
Yeah,
the toys that keep popping up. Toys of like the toys of yesteryear from when we were kids. And like you think about everything now. And well, it's funny because I still got young niece and nephews. So still, you know, the toys and Christmas and like looking at the toys that are coming out, buy things for them. But, and then it was the same thing with your kids when you're little, but the stuff that we had
when we were kids,
was like ridiculous. Right. And now that you see one of those old school ads pops up, the 80s, you know, this toy of the 80s on Instagram.
Right.
And you're like, I was entertained by this thing, like very like rudimentary toy.
Right.
The first one that jumped out at me was the Evel Knievel. Remember Evel Knievel?
Yeah,
was
Knievel,
like a stunt guy in the 70s.
Right.
He was a lunatic that just like jumped school buses. He jumped over everything. He crashed into everything, broke his bones.
Evel Knievel is very intense.
And they had a toy of him that just basically did the same thing. You revved it up. It had a little motor thing in it. You revved it up and like shot it up a ramp and it smashed into the drywall. And you're like,
I think you get some torque too. I remember that.
Right.
Evel Knievel sold separately or with the Evel Knievel stunt cycle from Ideal.
And all the packaging came with these awesome pictures of Evel Knievel on the box.
Right.
Like he had this like kind of like, he was like a cross between 70s Elvis jumpsuits, weird janitor, alcoholic looking guy. But he was awesome.
Yeah, but a guy would like maybe jump in now in current days and help you like fight off a carjacker too at the same time. You're like, who is this crazy? And they'd be like, hey man, just to help you out, you have $5 because I got an itch. I can't scratch, man. Can you help me out? He was hard. Yeah. He was a hard dude. Like he was old when we were young. You know what I mean? Like
I know that's what I feel like. And now you see the ads, and you're like, this guy was my age, getting on some piece of shit motorcycle and jumping over 25 school buses with some helmet on that looks like those helmets from like the football in the 70s with the one bar across.
Yeah,
the front.
He's a puncher. It was crazy.
And even the helmet on the doll would smash into stuff and come flying off when you crashed it. And I always thought that was funny because they would have specials on TV about the stuff this guy was doing. It's like, oh, he's jumping over 25 school buses. Right. He might die. Right. He's probably going to rip a limb off. And you're like, we got to watch.
We have to watch this. How can we not watch this? I mean, it's just.
Right. We owe it to him.
We do. It's like if a man was going to do this, wasn't the pinnacle the jump of the Snake River Canyon where he got into now, like he started like accessorizing. So he got a rocket. And then he was going to shoot the rocket across it.
Yeah, to branch out. Yeah.
And this was a while ago, so I can't really remember where Snake River Canyon was, but.
Not sure.
One of two places are coming to mind. It was either Indiana Dunes off of Lake Michigan, or it was in New Jersey at the Keensburg Amusement Park. It's
somewhere where you don't have to worry about people landing on top of people, because that was doomed from the get-go.
He tried to do it and something went wrong and the parachute came out and he landed. I remember they were like advertising, they were hyping it with the toys because like Evel Knievel was like doing that stuff, like G.I. Joe level stuff. There was this area, like when I was a kid, it was like G.I. Joe, like when he was young, G.I. Joe had all of these, you know, different things that he could do. He's like, you know, he was a scuba diver. He was a guerrilla warfare.
Many skills,
a pilot, all these other things. You know, I remember when they topped out, when they gave him the Zippo lighter so he could set a Vietnamese village on fire. I was like, yeah, maybe I should check out on this and move into something else. Like Evel Knievel got too far.
Well, like Evel Knievel, it's like, we're going to maybe try to kind of make him into like an astronaut.
Right.
He's like a poor man's
astronaut. Right, right,
like, you know, we were pretty confident in this rocket built out of a 15 gallon hot water heater and some bottle rockets that this guy's going to. Why don't you just make it a coffin? Yeah, so when he crashes, you can just spare
just like right in there. It's like, are you, it just propane's going to burn hot enough to get you over that? Just light it. Let's go.
Just
3, 2, 1. Started to roll and he's coming back this way now.
And there's a tire.
Chute is out, the main chute is out. There she goes. She leaves the rim of the canyon.
Going to crash.
But those were the toys you wanted the most when you were a kid at Christmas.
But he was awesome.
And then we transitioned kind of into another one that I sent you that I saw was the Fonzie. Like it was like the midsize. It wasn't the
Happy
full
days.
Like foot long action figure, and it wasn't like a, you know,
yeah, not the
G.I. Joe level or the little like Star Wars action figures. It was the Fonzie,
like in between.
Like you could like take his thumbs and his arms would go up and down. I remember when I was a kid, I thought it was hilarious that, you know, now I look at it and there's so many other things.
He's kind of a creep.
He's kind of
like
creepy.
That.
He's like this little dude that nobody messed with. Like Fonzie was a badass. We tuned in every week for Happy Days. You know, like my kids are nostalgic now about the 90s, but I'm like, oh, that's like what happened with us when we were in the 70s. We were looking back at Happy Days. Like
a show in the 70s about the 50s.
Right, exactly.
So,
and, you know what we didn't know about, like Fonzie stood with Israel. I remember that now because Fonzie was a total badass wearing leather jackets.
I saw that bumper sticker.
Fonzie stands with Israel. And, He was Henry Winkler, and when every other role that Henry Winkler in, he always played some little nerdy guy. You know, I always use of Jewish faith, and he's hilarious. Henry Winkler is a funny, funny actor. But when we were growing up, he was winning dance contests, and remember that, like they did this, like everybody was falling out kind of a thing. And then he had this burst of energy at the end, and he was doing like this Cossack dance, like the bottle dance from Fiddler on the Roof or some shit like that, and he was gonna.
The only guy that water skied in a leather jacket.
Yeah, remember?
He water skied in a leather jacket because he was a badass.
And just like Evel Knievel, there was a connection there. Remember when he did the jump and he crashed into the stand at, was it Al's? Was it crashed into the, it was all, everything was tied together. I think the CIA was behind some of this stuff, just distracting us from trying to figure out who actually killed Kennedy.
And what's funny, for those of you who like can't picture Henry Winkler and Fonzie and all that, like, you had Fonzie Happy Days, and then you had Henry Winkler, like Adam Sandler movies.
Yeah, with
like
the Waterboy.
Old,
the coach.
Small guy, you know, gray hair.
Super nerdy.
And you just, And you're thinking, wait a second. If you go back and look, and then you think, this guy was like a 50s version. This is what a badass was.
Of like Chuck Norris or something. That's how bad Fonzie was. Nobody's allowed to touch him. He lived over the garage. I don't know if you remember this, but Happy Days was on for like a full decade as a television series. And what was odd about it is like when the ratings started to dip, Gary Marshall, who was a producer, writer, both for that show, really wanted to jazz up the plot. And seeing as how, you know, these guys were all from Wisconsin, Milwaukee area, he wrote into it this thing about, you know, since it started in the 50s and it moved into the 60s, you know, Fonzie because he didn't really have a job, and Potsy and Ralph Mouth because they had that stupid band that never went anywhere other than Al's. They all got drafted and went to Vietnam, and it was crazy. And the three of them ended up, you know, getting in this crazy battle scene where I think Potsy lost his legs, and then Ralph Mouth went and got in this underground French Russian roulette thing and ended up getting killed and shot. And Fonzie had come home since and had to go back and bring his body back to Wisconsin. It was dark. It was dark stuff that, you know, I don't think America was really ready for it at that point.
They weren't ready for it. And you had to do at that point, you had to do something to distract from the fact that you were a family in the 50s that had a weirdo leather jacket wearing guy that hung out staring at the girls at Al's restaurant, standing by the jukebox all the time. Well, me and Ryan were out the other day doing some Christmas shopping. And that was the first time that we've been out for an extended period of time at stores at Christmas time. And it was a little, I don't know, I don't feel like we'd done much of that. As much of that anymore. You know, super long lines and tons of people. And, you know, it's a nice vibe because it's holiday season. It's all good. But then at the same time, you're like, okay, get me out of here. Yeah. People are bumping into me. There's 42 people in line and two cashiers working, which, you know, I unfortunately think that's part of it too, is the problem that a lot of businesses have scaled back their staff and things like that. And so now it's Christmas time and a lot of businesses hire extra people for the holiday season. And these poor workers, man, you see them standing up there. And there's two of them and there's five registers, but there's only two people and you've got 40 people tapping their foot in the line, getting pissed off. So
yeah, we've been conditioned to, like we said, just everything now is just a click of a button. It's ordered. Right. My credit card's already in my phone, everything like that. If you literally have to go into a store, like, you know, they've got two people working because the rest of the year, nobody's doing that, or at least those numbers are. I don't know. I was in a couple stores that I did notice, Scott, that the self-checkouts are now closed down. Like, they don't use them anymore. They're starting to get away from using them. Well, I guess first and foremost, because by and large, everybody knows you can just kind of go into a store, rip everything off the shelf, put it in a basket, run out of the store, and no one will stop you anyway. And if they do, you'll get, you know, we're not going to enforce that. That's probably a big issue. Some of the bigger stores like Target and, you know, Walmart and places are now saying these are the cities we're going to close several stores. And one of them I saw the other day, Target was like closing nine big stores in nine big cities, which, you know, where the people are is where the money is. But the bottom line is that they're probably losing so much. No one, you know, in the news story obviously wanted to say that they felt it had to do with that. But, you know, it was just like, oh, Target's closing. It was just like, and, you know, they didn't have the guts to say it's probably has to do with the fact that it's crime related, you know, and you know, we've talked about that before, particularly at the holidays. You know, why if it, you know, in the middle of August, I can go in there and rob a store, why wouldn't I do it when I really need to get a bunch of gifts for people because I know nothing's going to happen to me? I mean, it's part of the failed system, the failed process.
Well, and that's part of the reason why, you know, I didn't want to give this away, but I'm just making Chrissy a mixtape.
Oh,
I had to go out and find some cassette tapes. Ooh. I'm just going to make her a really nice Christmas mixtape.
Right.
Some old dance stuff from the 90s.
Right. You know, right.
Like all those nostalgic toys really started pushing me back the route.
Going old school. Yeah, right.
I'm just going to start. Yeah. Right.
A romantic at heart, Scotty. There's nothing. You can't deny that. I'm sure she's going to appreciate that. Are you recording it from your phone from YouTube? Are you playing it on YouTube and then recording your phone?
I said I do. We're doing the old school. Like I'm putting the radio with the recording with the cassette in it. I'm putting it next to a radio and I'm recording the songs from the radio.
Yeah,
it's so awful.
Right.
And the quality is so.
And like back in the 70s and 80s when you were doing this, like most of the songs, like you listened to like the old Police music and all that, you know, like they did the whole fade out, like where the song, we are spirits. And you were like, okay, I guess a commercial's coming up. So I know to hit the two buttons to stop it.
Right, but hit the tape right.
Now they don't do that. It's just like right in, like boom, songs just end. And you're like, you got to be good. You got to be paying attention. And clearly we've not been conditioned to pay attention as a society since the advent of the internet. So this is truly a labor of love on your part, I'd say.
Right. Because even the music, I can't listen to, I have to have satellite radio.
Yeah.
I can't listen to regular radio stations anymore. It's just talk, talk, talk. and it's commercial, commercial, commercial. And I think this might be a conspiracy. I think they talk over the first 10 seconds of the song to prevent me from recording the songs with a cassette tape.
Those record execs, they know. Yeah, they know.
It's some kind of copyright.
Exactly. Now, you, there's no, like, do you have to say at the beginning of the mixtapes now that you don't have any propriety over right. this music? No?
Yeah. It's just like, it's just like the FBI warning on the DVDs. Mm-hmm. Like, you pirate these things.
You're, yeah, that's right.
You copy this. You make a copy of this 40-year-old Virgin DVD you have. We're coming.
That was my move. Remember that back on the street when we used to work? Like, we were trying to get in a car.
Not the 40-year-old Virgin.
No, well, yeah. The DVD. God knows that wasn't the case. You'd see the pirated DVDs. Like, you know, they don't use a dot matrix printer to print the cover to the case of the pirated DVD. And in and around Chicago, they had all these markets that you could go down there and get whatever, you know, like any movie, like, you know.
Yeah. I always buy my DVDs in a, by the bag full in a brown shopping bag.
Exactly right.
My father worked in profanity the way other artists might work in oils or clay. It was his true medium, a master.
I really don't miss Christmas parties. When we worked, like, people would have Christmas parties every year. Like, hey, you're gonna come to my Christmas party? I'm like, Yeah. I mean, I was younger.
I do like the ugly, sweaty
party. Yeah, but then you know what this other Midwest thing is? It's like we're from the land of the rising sun, Illinois. You have to take your shoes off when you come in people's houses because they're like, you know, I'm having all of these people over my house and like the women are like dressing up and get really nice. And like you walk in and there's like this big pile of shoes. And I'm like, what is this? Goodwill? What are we doing? Like, come on. I got to take my, like, and you're and like, the women are like, you know that women can sit all weird different than guys can, and they get their feet curled up and they can stay warm that way. But you're like, what, why do I have to take my shoes off because I'm coming to a Christmas party? You know what I mean? Is this a,
you just didn't like it because you wear those socks that has all the individual toes.
I know because of my bunions.
They're orthopedic.
But it was like, that was the Christmas party. Remember, like, you would go to a guy's house. Oh, it was a good time, whatever. But it's just like, you know.
But now I got to go find two matches of the shoe pile.
Right. And everybody was like really into like a certain shoe at a time. And it's just like, I guess these are mine.
You got to make sure it's actually your shoes.
Well, mine were the New Balance with the grass stains all over them. So I was usually pretty good to go.
Like, when were you cutting the lawn?
Freezing. Yeah.
How do you get grass stains on?
Yeah. But I don't miss that. I got to be honest with you. I don't miss the Christmas parties anymore. It's like, you know, you venture out on your own and you're the old guy that kind of gets to stay home at Christmas or work. It's like, yeah, I'm good with that. You know what I mean? It's like Christmas, like when, I don't know if you remember, but I there was some cool thing about working at Christmas that you don't get to recreate when you're not. It's just like, it's just so quiet because everybody's just doing their own thing. It was like when COVID went down, like you would just drive around. And you'd be like, man, nobody's out. Nobody's doing anything. This is so wild and peaceful and nice. Like again, the dichotomy of being a cop is like, I only get to have fun when the rest of the world, or I only get to enjoy myself when the rest of the world is like either celebrating the birth of their Lord and Savior or Hanukkah or whatever it is at that time or COVID. You know what I mean? Like that was the only time that, you know, like you got to have peace and quiet and got to ride around and enjoy what was, you know, no traffic, no crashes, no complaints. Christmas was always nice.
But you would develop that bond with the gas station workers, like some of those random places, you know, that were open at that time. So, you know, I can remember a lot of times working holidays and working midnights and, you know, it's 1 o'clock in the morning on Christmas Eve or Christmas. And the only person that's even out and being also forced to work like you is the person that works at the gas station. So you're in there like, what'd you do for Christmas? I spent it at the mobile.
Yeah.
Drinking bad coffee.
It's good.
It's okay. Those are moments. Right.
Remember those simple days or remember those days where like, you know, there's something pure about that. Like, working at that holiday, like it sucks. It does. Like you're like, oh, I wish I could be home with my family, things like that. And then you get around your family, like, God, I wish I could be at work. So much more quiet. The radio's.
I gotta go.
Oh my God, big emergency.
Well, I'll tell you though, with the being out at the stores, you know, we've talked this year about just finances and how strapped people are and how everything costs so much more. And it's nice to see that people are still out spending money and buying gifts and doing things. You know, I mean, I think everybody's a little more trying to just be a little more fiscally responsible with that stuff this year. But it's good at that time of year to see that people are out and doing that, trying to do get those things for people and shopping and doing all that, because it seems like everything that's coming at you from every direction lately is this costs more, that costs more. I like that they did the comparison of Home Alone, where what Kevin's shopping list cost back then, and then they just did a recreation of it, and it was like seven times, not seven times, but it was significantly more than what it was back then. And, it's just people are strapped. So at least the holidays keep them in a good mood,
Yeah. Well, living in Winnetka and being super rich that you can travel to Paris at Christmas and your parents can actually forget about you is also pretty cool too. It kind of helps with that price tag, no matter when it is. When everybody's strapped, when you make millions, you pay millions in taxes and things like that. And people are like, oh, tax the rich, the rich do this, the rich don't do that. Da, da, da. It's like, look, as a cop, you kind of see it. And I don't know, to me, it's like the dollar sign associated with somebody didn't make them a better or worse person. But it's not like those folks aren't doing their part to pay for it. They are. Well, and, like Trump said, whether you hate or love Trump, he's like, yeah, of course I don't pay my taxes, because the system was completely set up by the people that are telling you that I'm not paying my taxes, because all of their friends that donate to them don't pay their taxes either. And if they did want to change it, they would.
And we've really gone a long way from Evel Knievel and Fonzie to the breakdown of taxing. But that's what we do.
I think Fonzie and Evel Knievel would have liked a flat tax. Don't you think Fonzie and Evel Knievel would love a flat tax? Right.
Fonzie was a renter, He didn't, he worked on motorcycles. He probably had renter's insurance. Right. I'm sure
perhaps
Mr. Cunningham didn't charge him much to live over the garage.
Right. Exactly. So
that was the route he was going. Yeah, he's probably dumping more in a 401k.
Yeah, right. And Wisconsin's tax rate was probably nowhere near as, severe as maybe California's. Right. I'm sure Evel Knievel would have liked, Obamacare. If that actually worked out for him.
With all those broken bones
and things like that. Right. Anyway, I think we should just give him an honorary DD-214 so he can just kind of access the VA healthcare system. God knows he's been brave and crazy enough to earn it.
An honorary DD-214.
Apparently, Evel Knievel died in 2007, and he chose to be cremated in order to pay for the funeral. They had to, basically scrap all the titanium from his body, all the
plates and screws,
which is odd because you would think like a daredevil, like those guys would have like really planned for the future pretty well. They think things through,
It was a huge eBay auction. I got outbid. I was looking for a kneecap. I'm going to make it into an ashtray anyway.
And oddly enough, Elon Musk was the guy that outbid you. He actually got all the parts, and I think he stores them now in a safe room at Tesla's headquarters. Cause he kind of thinks they're like, with the AI being so dangerous and stuff, that it may actually be like a Terminator type thing. Anyway, I'm not sure what we just talked about at all in this episode, but every now and then you just got to cut loose. It's Christmas. We want people to laugh and maybe, I guess we can move along at this point is what I'm saying.
I think we've covered it.
We
can wrap it. I think we're good.
Well, we hope everybody has a good Christmas and that you can, maybe enjoy it this year, despite some of the costs and things that we've seen. Hopefully every kid's got a Fonzie in a stocking at a fireplace, because Fonzie transcends. He does. He's every man and no man. And at the same time,
a lot of lessons here.
But if you'd like to get a hold of us for any reason, you can reach out to us at our Gmail account, which is 3copstalk@gmail.com. That's the number 3copstalk@gmail.com. Anywhere where you listen to podcasts, please download, like, share, leave a review. Like we said, it changes the algorithm. It gets us out there anymore. We're doing well. We'd like to do more. We'd like to hear from you. If you want to check out any past episodes, check out, again, wherever you listen to podcasts, or our website, which is www.3copstalk.com. That's the number 3copstalk.com. Have a good holiday. We'll talk to you soon, and be safe.